Good morning, we're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yona, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. This Mishnah is very, very informative about interpersonal relations. One of our challenges in interpersonal relations is knowing how to react. And I tell you this also as someone who's supposed to know how to react. I remember when the first person called me and told me their grandmother had just died. And I sat there thinking, what am I supposed to say? This isn't Shiva. This isn't Hamokom Yenachem Eschem. This is a person who has just met with not a tragedy, but a difficulty in their life, a sad moment in their life. What are you supposed to say? You don't tell a person you should be comforted. They're not holding it being comforted. So that's what our Mishnah teaches us. Very often, people have good intentions, but they say inappropriate things for that moment. And the Mishnah says we have to know when's the time. Al tiratze et chavercha bishat kaso. Do not try to appease your friend at the moment that he's angry. Right now I'm angry. So people try to say, calm down, take a deep breath, take things in perspective. Who said now's the time that I can calm down and take a deep breath and take things in perspective? Says Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, do not try to appease your friend, even though he's your friend, don't try to appease him when he's angry. Ve'al tenachameu b'sha'a shemeito mutal lefanav. And don't try to comfort him when he has his deceased lying in front of him. That's a time for being distraught. And it's legitimate to be distraught. And sometimes the best thing you can do is sit there and just show him you care for him. Sometimes the best thing you can do is agree with him that it's difficult. Not to try and show him the silver lining or show him that this will pass. No. Maybe that's the time to cry with him. And that's the best message a friend gives. Don't try to comfort him. And I'll tell you something worse. We often have to gauge, are we saying what we're saying because the other person needs it? Or are we saying it because we are uncomfortable? We are very often uncomfortable with someone who is in pain, with someone who is sad, and sometimes trying to comfort them is a way of us escaping from the uncomfortable moment. And a person has to come to terms with it, that part of life is also dealing with pain, part of life is dealing with difficult situations, and sometimes the friendship that a person can offer is sharing the pain, and not trying to comfort. The Mishnah says there's a time, the dead is before him, that's not the time to comfort him. He cannot be comforted, he should not be comforted at that time. That's a time for feeling the pain. Val tishalo bishat nidro. Your friend comes to you, and you're the rabbi, and he says, I swear I will never again talk to that woman. And you say, who? And he says, his wife, his mother, his daughter, it doesn't matter who. Choose whoever you like. And you say, no, you don't really mean that. He says, I swear by God, I'm never going to talk to her again. And you say, wait a second, let's analyze your vow. Did you mean, even if she gets married tomorrow, you don't want to talk to her? So in halacha, we have this concept that sometimes we try to help a person out of a vow. We try to find an angle in which the person didn't really mean what he said. So we try to show him, look, did you mean under these circumstances? Did you mean under those circumstances? We look for what's called a petach. We look for an opening where we can say he didn't know all the facts when he made the vow. And that's a way which we can technically undo the vow. It's very hard. It's one of the things a rabbi will sometimes do when a person takes a vow. Says the Mishnah, don't do that as he took the vow. At that moment he took the vow because he's in the heat of the moment. So don't start asking him questions like that. In the laws of family purity, it says that when a woman tells her husband, I've immersed in the mikvah, I've done the 7 clean days, I've immersed in the mikvah, he can trust her. A husband comes back from the army, he hasn't been home in 3 months, they haven't been able to communicate because he's been on a secret mission, and he comes home, and his wife is asleep, and as he puts his stuff down in the room, she looks up and she tells him, either I'm a nida, or she tells him, I'm pure, he believes her. In halacha, we trust the wife. Whatever she tells us, we trust her. Assuming we don't know to the contrary, right? What happens if the couple is perfectly permissible, and then the wife gets upset at her husband? You didn't buy me a gift for Shabbos? She says, my period just started. Boom. Now, maybe it's a lie, but she's upset at him. So she uses that lie to get at him. So the Talmud tells us there were rabbis in Talmud whose wives did that to them. Rav's wife, at one point she was upset at him. So she said, my period's starting. Okay, I'm not going to touch you. Fine. A day later, she calms down and she says, I know I told you yesterday it's starting, but it's okay. It wasn't. I was lying. So then halacha says, you can't go back on what you said. Because we say, wait a second, you gave a halachic status to where we're holding. Unless, matzah matla lidvareh, unless you can find supportive reason for why she said it. If you could know why she said it, then you can, if you can find something to say, oh, she only said it because of A, she only said it because of B, then you can believe her when she comes back and says, I didn't really say it. So I once got a phone call from a young couple where the wife did that to her husband. Not once, many times I got this phone call where the wife did that to her husband. So it was as I was starting out. So I didn't think to ask how long ago this happened. And I'm on the phone with this young couple, and I hadn't realized that the husband called me like 2 minutes after it happened. So they were still in the heat of the fight. So I started asking. I made the mistake of this Mishnah. I said, did she mean even such and such? So she fires back, yes. And I said, maybe she made a mistake such and such. And she says, no. And everything I tried asking, she cornered me. So I didn't know a way out. It was in the days that Chacham Avadia was still alive, Chacham Avadia Yosef. So I took their question to Chacham Avadia Yosef. And he said, no way. They have to separate now for 12, 13 days. It's over. Now, I made the mistake of the Mishnah. You don't try to ask people questions when they're still upset. Wait till they calm down. The Mishnah says, "Al tisha lo bishat nidro." When a person's upset, is not the time to ask them questions about their vow. The "Al tishtadel liroto bishat kalkalato." And final point is, sometimes our friends do things which they're not proud about. And we as a friend have this urge to see someone and feel like, oh, they're not as great, or I can feel better than, or they're not embarrassed, so what's wrong if I see it? There are all kinds of excuses or psychological reasons why a person would look at his friend when his friend is doing something that in the long run they'd really regret they were doing. And the Mishnah says, don't. Don't try to take a look, take a peek, be aware of your friend when they do something wrong. On the contrary, as a friend, try to avoid seeing your friend in their weakest moment. They're probably better off with you not knowing. And this is also a rule as a parent. Sometimes as a parent, you've given your child or your spouse or your friend, you've given them a great gift when you can turn a blind eye. A great component in chinuch is the ability not to address everything that happens. If you can make believe it didn't happen, then very often you're ahead of the game because things pass. Not every stupid thing that a kid does is a long-term problem. Sometimes it's a stupid short-term thing. And by you making an issue of it, so you've created an issue.
A Gabbai said once, I don't need to see everything what I hear.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Rabbi Yonah writes, Al teratzeh et chavercha b'shat kaso, don't appease your friend at the moment of anger, sh'al yedei zeh yavo lomar dvarim she'enam meuganim bo, ki yosif kas al kaso. If you try to appease him then, you're causing him, you're egging him on to say things that really are not fitting of him, and you're actually causing him more anger. So sometimes the best thing to do when someone's angry is to respect them and listen respectfully and let the moment pass. Sometimes it's not a good idea to calm a person down, and this goes back to what we discussed yesterday about Lashon Hara, that sometimes if you're going to try, if you're going to try to get a person to stop their Lashon Hara, you're only going to get them to say more.
What do you mean if you seal it? Okay, I was
Don't try to comfort a person when their deceased is before them. At the moment of such pain, such sorrow, trying to comfort a person only gets them more upset. And a person can say worse things. The Gra says that's not called comforting a person. If you can't understand that the person's holding at a state where they're not comfortable, they're not able to be comforted, so you're not comforting them, you're hurting them. What's going to happen? The person's going to say, there is no silver lining. There's nothing you can say to make this moment better. And they're going to say things which are not so far from how they should be feeling at that moment. There's a time for different emotions. Don't try to ask him if he meant it this way or that way at the moment he took the vow. Don't try to ask him, did you take a vow with this in mind? Because if you catch him as he's angry, he's going to say, yeah, in spite of that, and in spite of that, and in spite of that. And he might corner himself to the point where you won't have any way out. So even though in all these cases you have a good intention, but the difference in all these cases is that you're at a point of tranquility, you can think clearly, and your friend is acting out of emotion, and they cannot think clearly. And the Mishnah is telling us when you're dealing with someone who at that moment their emotion has gotten the better of them, and sometimes it's legitimate, so then at that moment, don't try to comfort them. At that moment, you have to be there for them to share in their pain and respectfully recognize there's going to come a time when they'll calm down and I'll be able to talk to them. At a time where he's harming, he's transgressing, he's actually embarrassed of his own behavior, don't go and watch him. Sometimes a person, an adult, can throw a temper tantrum. I called someone with important information, and it really ticked the person off. And even though I was just helping him out, I told him that the school his child was in was considering kicking out his child, that he better get into this picture, because if he wants his kid to get an education, he has to make sure this doesn't happen. So I was the bearer of bad news. The guy went on a rant on the phone against me, and I realized he's just upset and he's spilling it all out on me. So I said, you know what, buddy, we'll talk. Right now I got to run. 15 minutes later, after he realized, wait a second, I was doing him a favor. I'm not the one who's considering kicking out his son. I just happened to have gotten word of what's happening in the school. So he sent me an SMS with an apology. But at that moment, he saw red. How can they think of kicking out my son? What good would that do? They're just going to destroy him if they do that. And then he went on with a whole wonderful list of things to say. Okay, that's the moment where he's upset. The Mishnah says, you have a friend. He has a moment of weakness. He's harming himself. He's harming others. He's losing it to his anger. Don't try to see him at that moment. Try to avoid seeing him at that moment. You don't want him embarrassed. That's part of real friendship. So the Mishnah is telling us, as a friend, we have to recognize there are times that our friends cannot see with clarity, and our job at that moment is not to try and comfort them. It's not to bring them to that clarity. Give them time.
Even if it comes to raising a person's spirits?
There's a time where you can't raise their spirit. There's a time. When a person just lost their relative, that's not a time to raise their spirits. That's a time to sit with them and cry with them.
Good marital advice, too.
Yeah.
Not now, but you know, right? Try it and fix it. You know, usually.
Yeah. But the Mishnah told us that sometimes you shouldn't try to fix it. Sometimes you shouldn't try to see it. Meaning, there are times where try not to be there. Don't be the one to see the person fall. So obviously we have to factor what each time in accordance with what's right.
When it's happening in front of you, not seeing it is, that's tough. I mean, it's possible that it happened, you know, that people could just, you know, that's not really you, but, you know, just your emotion at the moment. That's my stuff. As opposed to say, yeah, we all got those sides. So this it's good.
Well, the idea is also not to be present.
If you can, if you could physically, right, like you said to the guy on the phone, hey, we'll talk another time, that's perfect. But in, you know, in kid situation and home situation, and many times not being present is physically present is hard.
So yeah, sometimes you can make believe you didn't hear things.
That's what he's saying, I think. And that's tough. Yeah, right.
It's not so tough.
Right.
It's not so tough.
It's doable.
It's doable, yeah.
You refine yourself to the point where it's probably, you know.
It's very doable. I was once a guest by someone. I remember I was very young. I don't know if I was 15 or 17. And at some point during Shabbos, I realized these people were flicking the channels on the TV on Shabbos. So I made sure not to be near the bedroom where they were flicking the channels. I mean, that there are scenarios where, no, it's better not to be there.
Not seeing it, though, means not acknowledging that part of that person exists. And that's the fight between that, which is a great thing, maybe, if you know these people or find people about. But that's the fight between the idea of, hey, I got to navigate in this world and society. I got to know what's real. Even if I don't act on it, that's already a big level for me. And not see it. Well,
I think the Mishnah is also telling us that we all have weaknesses. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm saying there's a time to weep. Tisha B'Av, the mourning is not a time for comfort.
But I don't look at that as a weakness. The weakness is somebody does something a little unethical, financially, or this and that. That's the part where you don't see it. You don't define him as that, because that's not all of him. And that can be healthy, but to not know it exists, to not know that the person did it, to not acknowledge it at all, that's...
I don't think that's what the Mishnah means.
Okay.
I mean, I think the Mishnah means, let's say you're coming to your best friend's pizza shop, and as you're about to walk in, you hear him yelling at a customer. And you know, if you walk in, he'll be embarrassed that he spoke that way. So you walk away, and you come back 10 minutes later.
Great.
I'm saying, you know he yelled, but he doesn't, don't try to see it. Walk away.
Because you know he would be ashamed.
Right. Right, that's the point. He would be ashamed. Save him that shame. That's part of friendship. Meaning, don't walk in on it. So, okay, the Mishnah, I think, is one of the most practical Mishnayot in the whole Masechet.
Yeah,
and
that's because it's something that, you know, one way or another use better. I mean, it is practical. Every day people get tested in certain ways like that, you know.
But it's also, it teaches us, I think, two skills. The one we just spoke about, the end of the Mishnah, is to try and avoid seeing it. Even though I know it exists, so what? Let me try to avoid seeing it. Let me try not to be there when it happens, assuming I don't have a responsibility to deal with it, right? But the beginning of the Mishnah is a skill that most people don't have, at least most men. That's the ability to commiserate, to cry with someone, to share an emotion. Men, at least in our century, become very uncomfortable around certain emotions. And I'm talking about emotions of pain, of showing that you care, of being with the person, sharing their pain. That's something which men have to develop, the skill, to be able to commiserate and show empathy. And showing empathy doesn't mean saying, oh, you know what happened to me? People sometimes think that that's the way they show empathy. At a time that a person lost their relative, they don't want to hear about the time that their friend lost a relative. That's not the time. That's the time to say, I share your pain, not let me tell you about my pain. So that's a skill that I think needs development in our generation. I think most men have a really hard time with this.
Wait, this generation as opposed to last generation?
I think earlier generations had an easier time with this. I think Sfaradim till today have an easier time with this. Sfaradim, Teimanim, I'm saying there's a certain natural communal ability to share emotion that the Western world doesn't really do.